If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Moncrief on News Talk.
In the cash machine this week, €261,000. If you'd like a chance of winning that, you can text the word play to 57557 or you can go online to newstalk.com/cash machine. The tax will cost you €2.50. Terms and conditions apply, including you must be 18 or over to take part. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Get your entry in by 3 o'clock tomorrow. After 3 tomorrow, if you've entered, you may receive a phone call. Answer it within 5 rings. Remember exactly the amount of money I said there, and we will give it to you. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087-1400-106 is our WhatsApp number. Barbara and Declan are here to bring some sunshine on a freezing cold day.
Freezing.
Freezing cold day.
It is indeed.
It's very nice.
Yes.
It feels the way it should feel at this time of year.
No, I like, a bit of weather.
Yeah. I didn't like all that kind of mild stuff when the leaves were falling. That's nice.
Yeah. This is actually quite a grim one. My husband and I met during COVID and sort of had a whirlwind romance. Our personalities are quite similar. We're both outgoing, loud, love a good time and like to drink. Unfortunately, this meant that most of the time we spent together, we were under the influence. In January last year, we decided to give up drink because it had become a problem. By April, we went back drinking, but a more moderate and normal level. Since then, things have taken a turn. He's a totally different person. He speaks down to me, is always in a bad mood and never wants to have sex. On the occasions I go out with my work colleagues, he makes me sleep in the spare room. I've no idea why, as I'm not a messy drunk. One morning after a night out, I went into him to cozy up and have sex, but he told me to get the F out. I feel alone and lost in my marriage and undesired sexually. He never asks how my day was or how I am, but I feel like I constantly have to pander to his feelings and needs. Essentially, my day depends on his mood. Our 2-year wedding anniversary is looming, but I want out. I'm in my early 30s and I have what most women want, marriage and a big house. He's a great job, comes from money, but honestly, none of that matters now. Over the last few months, I've realised that drink has masked the fact that he's not a nice person. I want to have a baby, which seems like the next step, but I don't want to get pregnant the way things are at the moment. I honestly think I should cut my losses while I still have time, or is this just teething problems?
Oh dear. There's an awful lot actually going on here. And it's very hard to, when you read the letter, even if you read it a few times, get to the heart of what actually is going on here.
Yeah.
Because obviously the first thing she talks about is the drinking. And they obviously kept drinking well out of COVID when they were talking about January of last year, that they were still drinking a lot. And again, how much is a lot and how much is normal? You know, she says now we're back drinking, but it's at a more normal level. And everybody's normal is different. I'm not exactly sure what that means. And then you have the thing where she says, which is awful, that if she goes out for a night out with her, did she say, colleagues from work, he makes her sleep in the spare room. And then recently, when she came home and got into bed and wanted to cuddle up, he told her to get the hell out of there.
Mm.
They're all kind of red flags now to me. But again, I'm wondering, about the question about the drinking still hangs over all of that. Do you know what I mean? She says she's not a messy drunk, but I know lots of drunks who say that about themselves.
Yeah, well, you can't tell you're drunk.
They're not the best to judge.
Well, now, the spare room thing struck me as that might be just a snoring issue.
It might be just snoring, or it could be the fumes, nobody wants to be breathed all over if they haven't been drinking. I think it's very sad that she says she feels alone and lost. She said she has what she wanted, which was, the marriage and the big house and she'd love a baby. But to me, this whole letter just sounds like a woman who's really confused and definitely unhappy about what she wants. And as I say, there are certain red flags about him not wanting to have sex and not being particularly pleasant. So obviously the first thing is she's got to sit down and have an honest conversation with the husband, where they both have to be honest. And if he has fallen out of love or is fed up, he needs to be able to be given the space in which to say that. So they do need to, that's where she needs to start, by sitting down and having an honest conversation, even though she might end up hearing things she wishes she hadn't.
Yeah.
But at least she'd know where she stands. If they both feel that the marriage is worth working at and, you know, making more of an effort at, they may need counselling, I would think, in order to help them go on. But if he's not up for that, I don't think it's great, you know. And then, you know, you would, and for God's sake, don't think of having a baby. Genie man, don't think of having a baby until you sort out this.
Well, I don't think they're going to have a baby if they're not having sex, but I mean, just to be flippant about it, but this is that actual dilemma though, even there was confusing to me because, you know, there's a lot going on there. There's the actual core relationship disintegrating, you know, going on. But then on top of that, there's the drink problem. There's this kind of, we're not having sex, but we're, you know, I'm thinking I want a baby.
Yeah.
It seems very confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way in which the drinking issue was kind of glossed over, we decided to stop drinking because it had become a problem.
Yeah.
But that problem isn't explained to us other than it was, you know,
it's left hanging.
What was the problem? What were you doing? Yeah. How did that manifest itself? What were you seeing when you were drinking at the level that was creating a problem within your relationship? And has that actually gone away because you've moderated the amount that you're drinking?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, particularly when they're younger, have certain social arrangements and they have certain friendships that are very good in a kind of chaotic, we're out partying all the time, thing. But as you get older, or as you drink less, suddenly the value of those friendships and those people lose their glimmer or their kind of their shine because, you know, relationships and life are, you know, you have to get real sometimes and you have to be sensible sometimes. And, you know, if somebody's 100% party girl and then suddenly is required to be sensible and they can't deliver that, then that's going to be a bit of an annoyance to some people as well. So, for me, I really don't know what this person is asking. They're asking me, does the person that they're in a relationship still love them? I don't think that's something that I can answer, that they need to be having the conversation with the other person.
I do think, however, though, she says the last question she asks is this just teething problems? I think we're agreed it's not teething problems.
No. Yeah, 100%.
It definitely is. There's definitely a more serious issue.
He doesn't sound happy either.
He doesn't. That's what I mean,
From what she's described, his unhappiness seems to mirror hers.
Hers, yeah. That's why they need to sit down, though, and have an open and honest conversation where he... And I think in any conversation that you need to have like that, where it potentially could be difficult and upsetting and even traumatic, you need to give the other person the space where they can say what they really feel. Because, I mean, that's really valuable to you in the long run, is to know what's really going on, you know? Mm.
And it's kind of like that, you know, you said traumatic there. And I think one of the first words in this letter is the mention of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
And that was a kind of a traumatic time for many people. And to kind of being bonded in the fire of the weirdness of that moment and then trying to make that weirdness into a normality later on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That transition doesn't seem to have worked for them.
Yeah.
And even the transition of drinking less doesn't seem to have worked for them. So it seems like their relationship is built on a scenario that is no longer sustainable. And
she doesn't mention him going out on nights out with his mates and drinking. Like she, you know, she seems to have said that he's not really drinking and he's drinking more, but she's the one who's going out.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, so it does seem... Yeah, it does seem, as you say, like he has kind of bailed out nearly already.
And I wonder, is he being, you know, if we're take her description at face value, he's being distant. He's being maybe at times slightly aggressive. That
he's trying to trigger something.
He's trying to get her to go, I want, so he won't be to blame.
Yeah, that's why they need to have that conversation. They need to sit down and have a conversation.
But that honest conversation requires honesty on both sides.
It
is that thing, like, what is the problem around drinking?
Yeah.
Why are you, you know, looking to moderate the drinking? And why, when you're drinking, does it impact the relationship in whatever way it is doing? And is that potentially the reason why?
I mean, she's put drink at the heart of this. So, you know, that clearly is something that needs to be...
For her.
Looked at. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm,
definitely.
Tough one.
Yeah.
Very difficult one.
It is a tough one. Because it might be we made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, no, it could be. Yeah. I mean, people do that all the time. And then you've got to be pragmatic and move on.
Yeah. I'm in my late 20s and back living at home after living in London for over 5 years. Now that I'm back, I'm determined to learn to drive and I've done my theory, the lessons, and I'm just waiting for a test date. My parents won't let me drive unaccompanied on a learner permit, so I cannot practice. I feel so stuck and obviously can't afford to buy a car of my own, so feel like I'll never get the driving hours I need to pass my test without paying an arm and a leg. I'm thinking about just using the car when they go out so that I can get more driving hours and experience. Should I just chance it? It's what everyone else does anyway, so, but I know they'll absolutely kill me, but I don't really have another option.
Jesus. I don't. Okay.
Late
no
20s.
Other option.
Yeah, you late do. 20s, really? Yeah. Yeah.
Look, you know, I remember being at that phase in, you know, in my driving career where I wanted to get the practice in so I could get the license. And
listen, hang on a minute. When you were at that stage, it was perfectly acceptable, if not legal, to drive on a provisional license.
Which is that
we all did
yeah.
it. That's yeah. what, that, don't be making out like you were only 30. You're not. You're very much older than that. So I just want to say that in case listeners think you're actually very young. You're
you
not
could hear,
very young.
You could hear the flesh tear there.
So, listen, the singeing and the burning of my skin as she touched me. Thank you, Barbara, but that is exactly the point I was going to make was in my day, learners with L plates were allowed to drive around unaccompanied on the streets.
I don't think they were meant to, but we did.
Yeah, we had like, what is it, 10 pints in our systems.
Yeah.
And it was all,
that was a quiet night.
Backwards down,
with a pig in the back seat.
Not even a seatbelt on any of us. It was a crazy wild time, wife swapping and all, the crazy mayhem. And now we've grown up, so you're going to have to grow up with this because the rules is different now. I understand your frustration and I get that. I understand that you want to do whatever you have to do. But there's reasons why, you know, the reason why the rules have changed is because there were crazy people. You say it's not going to kill your parents to find out that, you know, you're around driving in their car, which, you know, maybe not, but you might kill somebody else and then you'd be in big, big trouble. Their car could be taken away if the cops stop you. There's loads of reasons why it's just not a good plan to do that. But apart from that, like,
why won't, when I wasn't, sorry, go on.
It's like, you know, it's not that long to wait for your driving test anymore. You know, it's not that long.
But I wasn't clear from the letter whether it's the parents won't let her, are the parents willing to go out with her in their car?
Sounds like it.
Like, then that's what you have to do. Like, there's no way around
and maybe
that.
Maybe they haven't got the time to be, like, is this kind of like, I've done the theory test, which I aced. I've done a couple of lessons to get me comfortable. And now I'm good driving around the town. And the next stage of being a learner and then through into being a N for novice is that you just have to get the road miles in. You have to just become a better driver.
I haven't got the time or the energy or the inclination, because I know it was one thing I was really awful at was teaching my kids to drive. I just...
Oh, yeah. Your family shouldn't do it.
It was awful. But if the parents don't want to go out, sure... She must be insured on their car if she's going out at all in the car. Or has she just done lessons and has she never driven their car? And that begs the question of why is she bothering to do her test if she doesn't have access to a car? Because if she does her test and she doesn't have access to a car, what's the point? Like, you should wait until you have access to a car, whether it's your parents' car on which you're insured and on which they're happy to go out with you.
I think
you.
The parents are actually are just being... living by the law and literally saying,
but they could go out with her. Why don't they go out with her?
It's not insured without, you know, unless you're compliant with the regulations.
But they'd have to put her on the insurance even if she's a learner driver.
I don't think that's what the problem here is. The problem here is that the car is sitting there while, you know, mum is.
Then what's the point in her doing her test if they won't let her drive their car with them in it until she gets her test? What is she planning on driving once she gets the test? Like, ergo,
well,
why
they say unaccompanied on a learner permit.
Yeah.
So presumably they will let her when she has a full license drive there.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, well, maybe. But then surely she has to be on their insurance. Like, she has to do her driver's test in a car.
Yes.
So I know you can get the driving.
So I understand.
You can go to the driving school and they will very often allow you to do it in their car.
Oh, yeah.
But she needs a car for the test. So, like, she must be on the parents' insurance.
Yeah.
So therefore, why don't one of them go out with her a few times, get her up the miles, get her to do the test, and then they are they not allowing her to drive the car at all?
They will do that, but they're just not doing it enough for her.
Silly,
to be
it's
or
in
him.
Their interest for her to be a better driver when she goes to do the test anyway.
I know, but they don't have the time
sense.
To be doing. Yeah. Like, would you like be able to, you know, with your kids, go out in them day and night until they're happy?
Three of them learned how to drive. Now, it was my husband who did it. I didn't do it because I'm useless. I sit in the passenger seat going, whoa, 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 mind the curve. Whoa, 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 here's a traffic light. Oh, Jesus, mind the dog. And I just, I mean, my eldest daughter threw me out one night and said, I'm never, ever, ever doing a driving practice with you. So I bet my husband, who's much calmer, never sees anything coming, said nothing. He was much better at doing that than
John in Cork says it was never legal. It was never legal to drive around unaccompanied. I'm 60 now, learned to drive 30 years ago, never went out alone then. You could get the car seized.
Yeah, no, but nope, they turned a blind eye to it most of the time. Yeah, like, we all did it. Well, obviously he didn't. Yeah.
Brian says maybe your one can't drive well and the parents can't say it to her.
Or maybe the parents have a fabulous new electric car that cost them 85 grand.
And they don't want any dents in it.
You're not dents in our lovely car.
And it's about that control of their car, yes.
Yeah.
But I still think, though, that when it comes to this person, they've done the driving test, the lessons. I don't know what level they believe they're at with the lessons, but you're absolutely right that in order to get to the point where the examiner goes, yes, you're safe for the streets, they do need to build a certain amount of confidence. And that does come with a lot of practice.
And I hate to tell her that driving's expensive. Like, is she looking to get the car from the parents for nothing to drive
around? Looks like it, yeah.
Do you know, like, buying a car is the least expense. You can buy an old banger relatively cheaply. It's all the other bits that are expensive.
Yeah.
You know, like the insurance and the road tax and fuel and blah.
Someone says, my eldest son is turning 17 soon. I intend to let him get his lessons and practice in my car with me, but without me teaching him. I'm sure I'll be able to just let him at it. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure I am. Yes,
But as long as you're with them.
As long as you're with them. Yeah. So what are we saying to this person?
Don't take your parents' car out on your own.
Suck it up.
Don't do that.
You know, if something happens, you have to live with that forever. And also, the car could get seized.
She needs to think beyond the test. Like, why are you doing the test if you don't have a car?
And, you know, you'll get there as well. Stop rushing through.
Yeah. And when you are out in the world outside of the studio, do people ever come up and say, I have a problem? Could you give me some advice? Yeah. Like, for instance, tomorrow night at your show in Kilkenny, will people be coming up and ask and sharing their problems with you?
Do you know, thankfully, they don't generally share their problems, but they do come up and say they love this slot. And they love you, and they love him, and they love me, and I love that.
Okay.
And my show in Kilkenny tomorrow is in the Kilkenny Comedy Club, and there's still some tickets available at that.
Really? I'm surprised to hear that.
I'm surprised to hear that too.
If you're a troubled soul, go along tomorrow to the Kilkenny Comedy Club.
I'll do some of that on the side, maybe.
That was subtle. I don't think anybody noticed the thing.
Nobody noticed that at all.
I've just started a new job. I'm the youngest in the office by about 20 years. This doesn't really bother me, as it's a small firm and I'm getting good experience. But what is annoying me is that I'm being asked to solve all the tech issues because I am the token young person. It's gotten to the stage that people are asking me how to convert something into a PDF and to help fix the printer. I was being helpful at first, but now if a team call goes down, they'll come running to me. I don't want to be rude, but I have my own job to be doing and not solving their tech crises, which is usually it's something they could just Google. How do I stand my ground and what should I say?
I love young people who think that older people can't do anything techie whatsoever. But anyway, they are the token young person in the office. I think the chances are that people are coming to them asking them to fix their stuff because this young fella, I would say, has fixed their stuff up until now.
Or maybe his job is tech support.
I'm assuming it is.
It's actually in your job description.
Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I want to be my authentic self.
Yeah, yeah. Millennial death stare.
Well, I'm assuming that it isn't part of his job. And this is a very easy conundrum to fix. Mm. Stop being helpful.
Yeah.
Stop doing it. And what you say is, is the printer not working? Oh, I just have to finish what I'm doing here and I'll get to it, but it could be an hour.
Yeah.
And then somebody else will go and do it. They're only coming to you because you're making it easy and you're doing it and you're fixing it and probably going, I'll do that straight away now. So if you don't want to do it, if it doesn't suit you, if you think you've your own job to do and that's more important, which probably is, then just say that. I'm in the middle of something. I can't leave it at the minute. But as soon as I get a window, I will come. A window, I will come and I will help you sort that out.
Or just say, I don't know how to do that. Or you know the way kind of men get out of, you know, washing and ironing and things like that by just doing it badly.
Men, in my experience, never say, I can't do it. They just deliberately make a hames of it.
Absolutely.
So they won't admit they can't do it.
Oh,
they
no.
just blow the whole lot up and dye everything and shrink everything and then go, you shouldn't be letting me near the washing machine because I don't really understand it.
Yeah. That's, yeah. That's why it's
about, isn't it? Like, I think when people start in new jobs and stuff, they go in there with the full, this is the best version of me and I'm really amenable and I'm really, you know, enthusiastic. And then suddenly they realize they're dealing with a work culture where people will take advantage of somebody's enthusiasm rather than their knowledge. So what's actually happening is, even though this person has actually pointed out quite clearly that, you know, to work out how the printer works, it's probably just as easy to Google or to check the handbook or, you know, whatever, as it is to ask very enthusiastic Brendan here, that it's just easier. So the path of least resistance is to ask you. So what he has to do going forward is just to be a little bit more obstructive to the process, make it a little bit more difficult. Like you pointed out, delay.
Yeah.
Is the best plot.
Yeah, you're not saying no, but you're not saying no.
That's kind of what I think is at the root of this. You don't want to go from being, I'm really enthusiastic to going, that's not my job.
Yeah.
You know, that takes normally 3 years to get to there. But,
Okay, that's sound advice. By the way, in reaction to the first question that we had, a huge response on that. Most people saying, it's over.
It's over.
Really. Someone says, suggest breaking up, he'll agree. He then won't be the one who suggests it. At least you'll know then. This is simple. I know from experience, drink equals trouble. Both need to talk about without alcohol.
Yes.
And don't waste too much time trying to fix this. Time and life are too short.
Yeah.
That's true.
Though Tony says, it drives me nuts when I hear they should sit down and talk about it. That's shite Americans do. In the real world, people don't accept another's point of view and abandon their own. This marriage is over. Says Tony. Crikey.
Tony, having a conversation isn't about people accepting the other person's point of view. It's about discussion.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
I said what I said, now it's over.
It's about understanding the other person's point
exactly.
of view.
Yeah.
And just in relation to what we were talking about, that question about the car. God, there's a few cranky people today. It must be the cold weather. Sums up Ireland perfectly. A bunch of old people waffling. I think that's
us. That us?
That's us.
I thought it was Declan.
That's
mainly.
Us.
You said I'm old.
Here's all the things we could do back in the day, but now we're older and we want strict rules enforced everywhere on everything.
It's happening. It's happening because more people are driving and therefore there's a bigger percentage of stupid people driving causing accidents.
Cars are way faster, way higher.
I don't think you should even debate it with that person.
Bangers.
You know,
we're not debating.
Their puberty is just too much for them. It's overwhelming. They can't say
generation dead death there.
I'm having a fling with somebody I work with and it's great.
Yeah.
He's romantic and really knows how to satisfy me in the bedroom.
Oh, God.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind. I keep going back for more. He's not Irish and has the sexiest accent, which is a big turn on. The only thing is that he keeps talking constantly when we're getting down to business. I find it distracting. As he is whispering in my ear, but when I can't actually understand what he's saying, it puts me off my game. I wouldn't be the chattiest in bed at the best of times, whereas he's mad for it. How do I get him to say less and do more? And do I bring up the fact that I have no idea what he's saying when he gets in the zone and he slips back into his mother tongue?
I wish she hadn't said mother tongue. But anyway, oh God. This brought me back because I was going to say a sucker, but that's not the right word.
Yeah.
I was always susceptible to a sexy foreign accent, particularly a Spanish accent. Anybody who pronounced my name with three syllables, I was toast. It was amazing. Gosh. I get how she finds this accent sexy. I don't understand why it's a problem during sex.
Even if he starts talking, so what?
You don't need to understand what he's saying. Imagine he's talking dirty. Just listen to it. Like, if you find the accent sexy, you find the accent sexy. Just let on like it's a nice, sexy soundtrack to your sexy time.
Yeah.
And just like, don't worry about what he's saying or having to respond to him or answer him or do anything. Just enjoy it. I honestly don't see what the problem is.
And there's also the factor that earlier in the letter, it's like, I think the accent is really sexy and it's such a turn on. Did you say that to him? Have you said those words to him? Because if you had,
then he thinks he's doing you a favor.
So maybe just, you know, tell him to like not, well, put your hand on his mouth and just shut up.
Don't, because if he has a sexy accent, he could be reading the, we've all said that, you know, if somebody had not even a foreign accent, but somebody has a fabulous voice and you say, oh, they could be reading the phone book.
Don't say reading the phone book. Young people will go mental. They don't even know what that is.
Oh, read the phone book on your mouth.
Old people reading phone books on the radio.
There we go. That
up. But it does put her off, though. That's the thing. She's
but
not
it shouldn't
used
put
to
her off. That's only her head. She needs to put her head into a place where she's going, oh, I love this sexy act and I have no idea what he's saying, but it's great.
It's, I think that sometimes it is that it's a bit control as well. That you have to sometimes realize that in a scenario where there's more than one person involved, you don't have as much control to direct the whole thing in your favor.
Also, it's a new experience for her. She's with somebody who is talkative in bed, also with a sexy accent. She just has to get used to it. It's different. Enjoy it. I think it sounds amazing.
Yeah, sounds like Pepe Le Fou. Says one of our listeners, who's a cartoon.
The cartoon character.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know, you're too young to remember him.
I wouldn't remember him.
You remember him, no, but he had that kind of an accent.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, so we haven't helped this poor woman at all.
Just get over it. Like, you've got a fellow with a sexy accent. Good for you. Enjoy it.
Right.
Don't be trying to change him.
But she doesn't enjoy it.
No, well, then tell him to stop talking, but don't tell him to stop talking. He's got a nice sexy
talking is probably the way he expresses his passion.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's, her previous experience is probably...
Are you right there? Yeah. You're right there, Mary.
How you doing?
Are you awake?
How you doing? Is it in yet?
Yeah. I'm very
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.